This morning we are going to be in the New Testament, the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7. And we're going to begin in verse 36 and continue through verse 50. 36 through 50, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. As we look at a conversation that takes place between Simon, a Pharisee, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, we read these words. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, first of all, we pray for Mrs. Clamp, and Lord, I just pray for this dear lady as she has broken her arm and in quite a lot of pain, and the medication that they've given her isn't agreeing with her. So, Father, I just lift her up before you and ask that, Father, if it's your will, that you would remove the pain from her, and Lord, that she would be able to rest and heal quickly. We also thank you, Lord, for Mrs. Kinsman, who is now home, having been operated on. And, Lord, we thank you that the operation was a success, and, Lord, that she's in the healing stages herself. And, Father, we just come before you today as we come to the Word of God, and we thank you for it. We thank you for this precious book and for the message of salvation and love and compassion and forgiveness. And Father, as we look at this portion today, as we examine Simon's heart and his motives, and as we examine this dear lady, this sinner who has come into the presence of Jesus, as we examine the relationship that takes place and the conversation that takes place back and forth, Father, we just pray that our hearts might be open to the Word of God, and that we might gather and glean so many truths here, Lord, that will help us in our walk with you. Father, we pray that as a people, that our eyes might be upon Jesus and that our hearts might be centered in the glories of heaven. And now as we come to your word, Father, I do pray that you would use me this morning, that you would speak through me, that your spirit would fill me, and Lord, that the words that I speak would come forth from you. And God, we give you praise. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jesus had come to Capernaum. And once he had come into this city, he had begun to do those things which he was known for throughout the land by now. He began to heal their sick, to remove demons from those that were possessed, to preach with authority, but to show compassion and love upon the people. And while he was doing this, several messengers came to him from John the Baptist, who was now in prison. And John sent word, he said, Are you the one that we are looking for, or do we look for another? This is the same John who recognized Jesus when he saw him at the Jordan River And he announced by the inspiration of the Spirit, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." This is the same John who baptized Jesus and saw the Spirit of God from heaven come down upon him and heard the voice of the Father. This is the same John, but John now is in prison, and John doesn't understand what's going on. There are many things about our walk in Christ, and there are many things about this Christianity that we have sought after, and this forgiveness and this wonderful relationship that we have in Christ, that we don't have all the answers for. It would be wonderful if we did, but we don't, and John didn't, and John was fully expecting Jesus to establish the kingdom. After all, he was the Messiah. After all, he was king. After all, this was God in the flesh. Why would he not start the kingdom? And why would he not remove John from that prison? But John didn't understand. He didn't understand that before the kingdom would be established, several thousand years would pass. He didn't understand that before Jesus would establish this kingdom and proclaim himself as king, that the Savior of the world and the King of the Jews would die for the sins of the world. He did not understand that he wouldn't be coming forth from that prison. Like many of us who struggle when things go wrong and we find ourselves facing some difficult choices and difficult times in our lives, John didn't have a complete understanding of what was going on, and so now he began to question. And Jesus simply told these men, he said, "You go back and you tell John what you've seen. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see. The gospel is being preached to the poor. The dead are being raised." These were all Old Testament signs of the Messiah. He said, "You go back and tell him that, and then you tell him not to be offended in me. Not to be offended in me. Don't question me. Just because he doesn't understand me, don't be offended in me." If we were to put the book, or if we were to put this, the four Gospels, into chronological order, we would find that just before the passage that we read today, Jesus would have made the following statement, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And this, keep that in the back of your mind, that statement, because it plays a tremendous part in what we're going to be looking at this morning. What we read in verse 36 is, "One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet." This Pharisee's name was Simon, and we have no idea who this Simon was. There were many men listed in the Scriptures as Simon. What we do know is that he's a Pharisee. No doubt he is very well respected in the city of Capernaum. He's a man who is high up on the register of who's who in the city. He was a religious leader, and therefore he commanded the respect of those around him. And he asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. There's been a great deal of debate down through the years as to what the purpose was of this invitation. There are some who believe that Simon was very sincere in his asking Jesus to come. Perhaps he was concerned about his own life, or perhaps he was concerned about the nation of Israel. Perhaps he was actually looking at Jesus as being the Messiah. But there are others who say that no, they don't believe that that is exactly the case, but that instead this was just another attempt by the Pharisees to discredit Jesus in the eyes of the people. If we go through the book of Luke, you'll find that Luke mentions the Pharisees 28 times. 28 times throughout the book of Luke, he speaks of the Pharisees. And in every single case, it is in a negative sense. That gives us our first clue as to what's taking place here. Look at verse 37. "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. We notice here that in the Scriptures, this woman is referred to as a sinner. What that is referring to is that she was a woman of ill repute. This woman was a prostitute. The city was filled with sinners. As a matter of fact, there was only one person in the whole city who was not a sinner. And he had been invited to this dinner. But this dear lady had a very difficult life. She'd made some poor choices. But there's no doubt that she overheard Jesus when he said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And now she knows that Jesus has come to Simon's home. And we have to understand, when you and I invite someone to our home today, unless it's an outdoor picnic, we have them come inside our home, we shut the doors, and we have a time of personal fellowship with them. That wasn't the way that it was in the time of Jesus. When Simon invited Jesus to come to his home, it was out in the portico or out in the courtyard of his home. It was accessible to the street. There may have been a small gate there, but everyone going by could see what was going on and knew that Jesus was at Simon's home and that they were having a meal together. And as they would come in, some people from the street would actually lean over the fence, if there was a fence, or stop and converse with the people there. It was an open forum. They were not invited to the meal. But they certainly took the time to stop, listen to the conversation that was going on. After all, these were two very important men. One, a very well-respected man in the community, had been there for quite some time, and they knew who he was. And the other was a man that everybody was interested in all of a sudden because he could do some things that no other man could do. And so there was a crowd of people in the street. And they had come to watch and to listen to what was taking place in Simon's home. And as they brought the food out, they would lie down. They didn't have tables like we do or chairs like we do. They would lie on pillows in the courtyard, and they would lie with their elbow toward the table or toward the meal and their feet behind them. So like a wheel with spokes, these people would lie around the meal and partake of the meal. But this woman, this was different. Because under the customs of those days, women didn't eat with men. She shouldn't have been there. And yet, she came in off the street. And the moment she stepped into that courtyard, you could have heard a pin drop. Everyone was wondering what this woman was doing. She shouldn't be here. They knew who she was. They knew what she was. And yet, she had come. I'm sure that as she made her way in, she didn't make eye contact with anyone. She had her eyes to the ground. But she made her way to Jesus. No one had to tell this woman she was a sinner. She knew it. Unlike some of us today, she understood what she was. She knew she was a sinner, and she knew that she needed Jesus more than anything else. And oh, how she wanted to be forgiven for the things that she had done. Oh, how she wanted the rest that Jesus had promised. And she brought an alabaster box. Alabaster is a form of marble. It's very expensive at that time. And the ointment that she had within it was very expensive. She brought it with her. And it's very strange, but Jesus did not acknowledge her. He never said anything. He carried on his conversation with his host. He never acknowledged that she was there, and yet all of this time, she stood at his feet weeping, heartbroken at what she had let herself become. Heartbroken that she had made all the wrong choices in life and now she was paying the penalty for those choices. And heartbroken because no man would look upon her now with anything but lust in his heart. No one cared about this woman. They merely wanted to use her. And yet she heard something in the voice of Jesus and she saw something in the eyes of Jesus that spoke otherwise. Jesus actually cared what happened to her. And so she had come. She didn't say anything. She simply stood there weeping. And she noticed that the tears that were falling on his feet, and she began to wash his feet with her hair. And then she kissed his feet. I want you to think about that. She bowed and she kissed the feet of Jesus. I'm sure that there are some of us here today that say, well, I would do that. Would you? Would you lower yourself to kiss the feet of Jesus? Those dusty feet that had walked on the streets of Capernaum. That she not only washed with her tears and wiped with her hair, but now she bent to kiss. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. There are some who say, well, Simon was obviously embarrassed by what happened here. But listen, do you see Simon rebuking this woman and telling her to leave? This is his home. Do you see Simon saying, what right do you have to be in here? You're not supposed to be in my home. You're an embarrassment to me and to my guest. Leave. He didn't say that. Instead, he judges this woman silently. Instead, he sits there and he says, if Jesus was who he claimed to be, if this man knew what manner of woman this was that was at his feet weeping, he wouldn't let her touch him. He'd want nothing to do with her. But you see, Simon made a horrible mistake, and it's the same mistake that many of us make. He failed to recognize that he is not Jesus. He doesn't think like Jesus. He doesn't have the heart of Jesus. And neither do we. And so he made a very crucial mistake. He not only judged the woman, he judged Jesus. The world is filled with people today who think they can judge Jesus. They take his book and they try to rip it apart and they mock it and they make fun of it and they think that as long as we do this, if Jesus were truly God, surely he would bring down fire. Where is this fire from heaven? We fail to understand the grace and the compassion of God. Simon sat there. Oh, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious person. Considered himself to be very spiritual. But here he sits in judgment of both man and God. Now this woman, please don't make the mistake of believing that this woman is Mary of Bethany or Mary Magdalene. It isn't. It's not either one of them. It's a third case entirely. We're not even told what her name was, who she was, anything about this woman other than the fact she was a great sinner. And as Simon sits here and as he watches this woman and as he judges Jesus in his heart, Jesus answers him. What a shock that must have been to Simon. He's sitting there with a straight face, trying not to give away his feelings, and he's condemning Jesus inside. And Jesus suddenly turns to him. In verse 40, he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. It certainly would appear that Simon had invited Jesus here to expose him as a fraud. And now he had the evidence that he needed. In his heart, he was convinced that Jesus did not know who this woman was or what kind of a background she had come from, and therefore he was an imposter. He could not possibly be the Messiah. And he thought in his heart that he had finally exposed this man whom the Pharisees despised. But what he's going to find is that Jesus is going to expose him. He always does, by the way. Anyone who tries to mock the Lord is always going to be exposed. So be careful. Be very, very careful what you do in your life. Master, say on. And in verses 41 and 42, Jesus mentions a parable. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? He said, there's two men that owe a great deal of money. But neither one of them can pay their bill. And so the creditor owns these two men. What's he going to do with them? He simply says, I'll forgive you. Now he said, Simon, tell me which one of these two men, which one of them is going to love him most? The one who owed a little or the one who owed a lot? See, one of these men owed 10 times more than what the other one did. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. This is a very unusual and very short parable. It was given for a number of reasons. First, to set the stage for what is about to come. But it also set the stage to show the difference between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Because when you and I read down through this, the first thing that we notice is that one man owed a lot more than the other man. And our mind is preoccupied with numbers. Our mind is immediately tries to divide those two men. Because one owed a little and one owed a lot. When in reality, the Spirit of God here is trying to reveal something to us. It doesn't matter how big the debt is, you and I can't pay it. There's no man on the face of the earth that can pay the debt that we owe God. He may think he's moral. He may think he's spiritual. He may even think he's religious. But he can't pay the debt he owes God. There are others upon the face of this earth that prefer to live like animals, more so than men. They prey upon one another, hurt one another, justify it any way they can. And we look at them and we say, oh, God's going to judge them. Friend, listen, God's going to judge us all. God's going to judge us all. And there's none of us that can pay the debt that we owe in the eyes of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 44, Jesus now begins to speak about the woman. Up until this time, he'd not mentioned her. He turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. All Jesus is going to do now is relate to this man proper etiquette. Because when you invited a guest into your home in that day, the first thing you did was provide them with water to wash their feet. When Jesus was invited into this home as a guest, he was given no water. It gives us an insight into what Simon really thought of him. He was not given any water to wash his feet. None. He said, Do you see this woman? She's done for me what you refused to. She didn't give me water. She used the tears. Her own tears. She wept because of her sins. And she presented herself to me. She washed my feet with her own tears and wiped it with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. He said, You wouldn't even kiss me on the cheek, which was proper etiquette. Today we just shake hands. But in that part of the world, in their customs, they kissed each other on the cheek. It was a formal greeting among friends. He said, You wouldn't even come over and kiss me on the cheek. This woman, she has not stopped kissing my feet since she came into this place. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. If you had an honored guest come into your home, what the Jewish people would do is they would mix an ointment of olive oil and sweet spices, and they would put a little upon your forehead. And it was just a gesture of love among friends, someone that you honored. Jesus said, You don't honor me. You don't love me. You haven't shown any respect to me. And yet you sit there and you judge me. And you judge this woman. Excuse me. And she loves me. She's proven her love to me. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What he's saying is here, when this woman walks out of this house, she walks out free from the bondage of her sins. You, however, will stay in your house and in your religion and in all of your spirituality, and you will still be a sinner who cannot pay his debt and refuses to acknowledge it. Verse 48, he said unto her again, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. I love that last statement, thy faith hath saved thee. Had it not been for that, we might have come to the conclusion that this woman, because of the things that she did for Jesus, was saved. No. This woman came and did these things for him and wept for him and wept for her own sins, and she came and washed his feet with her own tears, and she wiped them with her own hair, and she poured ointment on his feet, not because she was looking for salvation, but because she already had it. What are we doing for Christ today? Which one of us would bow down and kiss the feet of Jesus? Which one of us would bring anything expensive and lay it on his feet and proclaim him to be God and pour out our heart so overcome with our own sins we can't even speak? We won't even give him 2 to 3 hours a week of church. We think it's too much. So we give him 1 hour. In many ways, friends, we should be ashamed the way we handle God. He's far too precious for the way we use him. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. She had come there. She had come there because she had taken Jesus at his word. He had said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And she wanted that rest. She was tired of that life, humiliated and ashamed of that life. But now she would go forth with peace of heart and peace of soul and with the Savior of the world. My prayer for you today is that you would recognize, if you're here today and you are saved, you have asked Christ to be your Savior, I want you to recognize who He is, how precious He is. What are you doing with Him? What are you doing for Him? And if you're here today and you're not a saved person, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, my friend, you need Him. If you're ever going to be able to walk away from the burden of your life, you need Him. He's the only one that can take that burden away and give you rest. He's the only one who can win your heart and save your soul. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps you're here this morning, you'd never asked Christ to be your Savior. You've come here today and finally, you've realized you have a debt that you owe God, but you're never going to be able to repay it without Christ. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me to ask Christ to forgive you of that sin, to take away that debt? Oh God, I recognize that I am a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. Father, forgive me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse me and make me whole. Remove this burden of sin from me, Father. And help me from this day forward to walk and to rejoice and to give praise with your Son. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.